Welcome to the world's most insane internet radio talk show. This is Injustice Radio, presented by MofoBooks.com. I am your host, author, and fair trial advocate, Lucas Diddle. We are broadcasting live from Concord, North Carolina, where it is just to challenge that which is unfair. America, this is your show. Welcome to the show. I'm Luther Stidham, your host. And just so you know, today's show was recorded. I ended up got tied up, so I couldn't do the live show. And instead, I'm going to do the podcast. And check out my new podcast. I hope you like it. It's going to be injusticeradio.podcaster. I think is what it's called. Anyway, I've got some things planned for you today. I'm going to try something a little. I'm hoping you find fun. I've actually run into some clips that somebody put together that kind of fits with my theme and fits with my show. So before we get into today's ordeal, I want to read something. It's an update. If you've listened to the previous shows, you've heard a show titled The recusal of Judge Ola Mae Lewis in Brunswick, North Carolina. And then you heard the recording that I've played with Tammy Pierce, where she's telling an individual where she is not going to allow my appeal to be seen by the courts, right? Remember that? All right. Well, I run across this interesting article. Actually, I didn't. You know, I've been lucky enough now to find an individual who I'm going to eventually get on the show. And her name is going to be, we've given her this title for the show, and it's going to be Investigator, or no, maybe I'll make it Special Agent 00CD. And you'll find out why we call her 00CD, hence the word, or the letters, OCD. All right, so this person has done a ton of research for me, and she has come across an interesting article. I'm going to read it to you right now. This is from WWAYTV.com. It's a radio station. No, it's a TV station down in Wilmington, North Carolina. And they reported on Miss Tammy Pierce, Judge Jolly, and Ola Lewis. Let me read to you what it says. Brunswick County, North Carolina. A Brunswick County woman arrested yesterday with her son used to work for two local judges. Now she's on the other side of the law after allegedly conspiring with her son to steal from people and businesses across Brunswick County. Wednesday, Tammy Pierce and her son Kyle were arrested and charged with a number of felonies for possession of stolen goods. Today, Tammy Pierce walked out of jail after having her bond reduced from $50,000 all the way down to $2,500. As recently as last year, Tammy Pierce worked as a trial coordinator in Brunswick and Columbus counties. While in that position, she worked directly under Judges Ola Lewis and Jerry Jolly. Thursday, Judge Jolly reduced a bond for Pierce, who faces six felonies. He lowered it from $50,000 to $2,500. WWAY then states, "We tried to speak with Judge Jolly to ask if it was a conflict of interest for him to handle her bond reduction request, but were told that he was not in his office. We then tried his home. We were then told he was not at home. According to warrants, the Pierces stole more than $100,000 worth of equipment from people and businesses across Brunswick County. $100,000 worth of equipment from people and businesses across Brunswick County. According to District Attorney John David, it is up to individual judges to decide whether or not they have a conflict of interest in a case, in any case. If so, they are supposed to remove themselves from the hearing. Kyle Pierce's bond was not reduced. He is in the Brunswick County Jail, still under a $50,000 bond. looks like Kyle's mother, Tammy Pierce, fended for herself in this case. She's a partner in crime, but then it looks like she's fended for herself in this case and pulled her strings. Then there were a few comments made. One I'm going to read from you from a Boris. Boris states, good old corruption and favoritism in all the honky-tonk little towns. That's grassroots. We can all still be proud. Another comment by Truth Seeker. Good old Judge Jolly. Judge Jolly gave her an early Christmas present due to his personal relationship with a defendant. If you or me came before him with the same crime and criminal record, do you think he would have reduced her bond? I also bet John David did not object to the bond reduction. Are the victim of these thefts going to get their property back? Nah, probably not. All right, that's an update on Miss Tammy Pearson, if you'll remember, or you can actually go back through the podcast. And there's one in there that's going to be titled The Recusal of Judge Lewis. You'll actually hear Tammy Pierce's voice relaying a message from Ola Lewis. Okay, now on to today's topic real quick. Today's topic, I believe, is going to be titled GPS Tracking. When people are released from prison, and of course sex offenders, they have to wear this thing around their bracelet now. It's called a GPS tracking device, and in some cases, I agree that it's well needed. However, the courts have held that now everybody is not a one size fits all. The individuals must go back to trial. They must go back to court rather, and certain criteria must be met. And we must thoroughly determine that it is actually something that's needed. And again, I don't argue that. However, I've not been given that opportunity. It was slapped on me as a result of a conviction, someone who's never had a criminal record, and this is what I'm having to deal with now. So we get into this thing called they monitor me everywhere I go, and that's okay, I guess. However, the United States Supreme Court has ruled back in March, I believe it was, of this year, that it is clearly a violation of the Fourth Amendment, and they've ordered the North Carolina courts to basically reconsider what they've chosen. And in addition, I am about to attempt, starting with this show right now, you're listening to it right now, I'm going to contest the constitutional portion of it, not just including the Fourth Amendment, but however, a device that clearly is a health hazard, is a risk to an individual's health, in particular mine. So Cabarrus County Probation Parole, they're the guys who really get on this thing with me, meaning they bug the shit out of me with this GPS monitoring. And they claim that I don't move sometimes for 4 hours. And when that happens, then the bracelet triggers a no movement alarm, and they're calling me to wake me up. And it always happens when I'm sleeping. Now first, let me say this. I don't sleep that well. I do not sleep like a rock. I sleep like, a skittish rabbit somewhere in a field of wolves. So that it doesn't happen. And anybody who has slept beside me can tell you that. I toss and turn all night. So I've never slept. I can guarantee you I've never slept 4 solid hours without moving. So then I started experiencing issues with them calling me and waking me up. And after about the 12th or 15th call, I got smart. And that's when I had uploaded on my phone. I downloaded an app, And that app is called Call Recorder. And I started recording every single time they called me. Well, then I switched to a Windows phone, and that app wasn't available, so there were another 20-plus calls that got missed. Since then, I went back to an Android phone and downloaded the app again, and this time I brought the Pro version, which is going to allow me to play what I'm about to play for you right now. So I'm getting ready to try and attempt to play several phone calls from these guys, and I'm going to tell you the time and the date that they've called, because it records that too. However, for some odd reason, I've been experiencing some player problems with the computer I have these files loaded up on. So I had to do some tinkering earlier today to get some of these files to play. So let's see what happens. So the first one I'm going to play for you was when I started back recording these things, these phone calls that they were calling me and telling me to move around. This first one is going to be on September the 1st at 4:12 a.m.
Hello?
Luther?
Yeah.
Hey, probation. I keep getting no motions on you. Can you move around?
Yeah, I'm moving.
Thank you. Bye.
And that's all there is to it. They call me generally around 4 o'clock, after 4 o'clock in the morning, from anywhere from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and they tell me that they're not receiving any movement. And they know I get up at 5:45. So why not leave me the hell alone until 5:45? I'm going to move instead of waking me up. So in the event I do get a good night's sleep, I don't get a good night's sleep because probation parole, Cabarrus County, under the direct authority of Mitzi Quinn, the chief of probation and parole in Cabarrus County, under her direct authority, they're calling me to wake me the hell up. And I've discussed this with a couple of attorneys, and it is a challenge that I can take to the courts about an impediment into my health. It's a deprivation of sleep, right? So right now what I'm trying to do is I've actually got, because my phone sometimes doesn't wake me up, so I downloaded a ring that tells me that probation parole is on the line, or they're calling me, and I'm going to play that for you. I think it's pretty fitting. I got it to sound like a kind of like a police siren, and I got it cranked up real loud, so here we go. So that's the ringtone I use for these guys. And, of course, they wake me up. And then here is something else that I get to listen to. This one was recorded on September the 3rd at 4:27 a.m. The first one was September 1st. The first one being that I started recording again. September the 1st, 4:12 a.m. The second one was September the 3rd at 4:27 a.m.
Hello.
Luther?
Mm-hmm.
This is probation. Can you please move?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
So now they've woke me up, and there's no hope for me in going back to sleep. So it's 4:27. I get up in an hour and 15 more minutes, and then I go to work for 12 hours. And I did do that 6 days a week. I think this next call I'm going to play for you, I had just about had all I could take of them calling me and waking me up. So this next one is actual the night that my probation parole officer, she was on duty that night, the on-call parole officer, and she got to call me and wake me up. And then after she did, then I had decided right then and there I was done. I was not leaving my phone on anymore. When I went to bed, I cut my phone off. I did that for about a month. But before I play that one, I'm going to play for you the one that basically crossed the line for me. Here we go. And by the way, this is my probation and parole officer, like I told you. However, she and I get along, and that's the way I want to keep it. So you won't hear her name. I'll be playing another one here soon that I've bleeped out her name. And like I said, we get along, and I want to keep it that way. She has done some things against me, and I know that she was forced to do it by, again, her chief, Miss Mincy Quinn. I believe that's her name, Mincy Quinn. She's the chief or supervisor in Cabarrus County Probation Parole. Every time I go up there and she passes me in the hall, she speaks and says hello. But in the end, there's been things done that were completely unconstitutional and unfair, and I'll share those with you the longer we go into the show, maybe not today, maybe some other time. But here is my probation parole officer calling me. This was going to be on September the 7th, it looks like, or 6th. No, September 5th at 4:21 a.m. And it's so crazy how close these calls were together. The first one is 4:12, second one's 4:27. The third one and final one was at 4:21 a.m.
Hello?
That's your setup?
Yeah.
Hey. Everything's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Now, that was my actual probation parole officer calling me to wake me up and tell me that they were reporting no movement. So I was getting very annoyed, and I had already discussed with them, you know, look, is there nothing else we can do? You guys are calling and waking me up. I don't sleep well, so in the event that I do get to sleep, and let's just say that there is a rare opportunity that I don't move for 4 hours, for God's sake, man, don't wake me the hell up. Leave me alone. You know I'm going to get up at 5:45. Just chill. Go back to bed. Chill. 5:45, I guarantee you there's going to be movement. Now, I know that they tell me that that's the rules enacted by Department of Public Safety. That's a lie. That's a flat-out lie. I know it's a lie because I've done my research. Stanley County has a six-hour no-movement rule. So if you don't move for 6 hours, they then call you. They say it's to check up on you and make sure you're not dead. Whatever. Believe that if you want to. That's just put there in maybe 6 hours. I can look at that. You know, there's no movement for 6 hours. There might be a problem. But I'm not moving for four. I'm not laying in bed, not moving for 4 hours. Come on, give me a break. I don't sleep that well. And this all stems back from about a year after I was released from prison. My probation parole officer at the time, her name was Meredith. Forget her last name, but her first name was Meredith. She called me into the office one day and said that my bracelet was reporting no movement from like 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. She then accused me of taking off the bracelet, and it's heat sensitive, so that didn't happen. I wasn't doing that. And otherwise, I'd just say I was, because then that would give me the opportunity to go in front of a judge and start a fight. And that's what I need to do, actually. I probably should say I've taken it off. I probably should take the damn thing off just so they will take me in front of a judge so I can let the judge know, hey, man, I've got an appeal pending that Ola Lewis has been blocking. Here's the recording to prove it. So therefore, you don't have jurisdiction to deal with me right now. But that's a story for another time. So I cut it off for about a month. And I then received a phone call while the phone was off, and I was left a voice message. And then when I returned the voice message, it was my probation officer that had called me. And since I decided to start turning my phone off and stopped being interrupted while I was sleeping, like any normal human being, here's the alternative I was given.
Mr. Stidham.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mr. Cabarrus Probation.
Hey.
Are you still at work?
No, I'm at home right now.
Oh, okay. All right. I just wanted to call you and let you know, because I told you I would speak with my supervisor today about
okay.
this. The way that your post-release conditions read,
uh-huh.
it reads that you cannot associate.
Oh, no, that's the wrong one. My bad. Here we go. 4:21 a.m., my probation officer.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's still the wrong one. We've already played that one. Here we go. One more time.
Hey, good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I was called this morning because you had a no motion again. So that's the reason that I was calling you. The next thing that's going to happen, Mr. Stidham, is they're going to show up on your door. If they can't get in touch with you,
mm-hmm.
we, by policy, have to come and physically see that you're all right. So we need to figure yep. something out about your sleeping and everything. Does the net get up during the night to go to the bathroom or anything?
Occasionally.
Okay. Well, can she start, like, shaking you to move around whenever she does that? And, you know, I don't know how it doesn't happen that often. So, it's not an every night issue. But Officer Bradshaw was notified this morning, and when he couldn't get you to answer the phone, well, he called me, and I said, well, I doubt there's anything wrong. I said, but I'll try to contact him. And I said, I know that he gets up, 5:30, 6 o'clock to go to work. And I said, so I'll see if I can make contact with him.
Uh-huh.
So, if they can't get you, he's just familiar with you because he's one of the ones that has been out to the house with me. And he was just familiar with you and knew that I could probably get in touch with you. He said, he's probably seeing myself, the cell phone number, and not answering. And I said, well, probably. So, but then, somebody that's on call, next week, if they can't get in touch with you, then they're going to have to come out to the house.
Right, yeah. I cut it off at night now. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I cut it off at...
Thanks for playing the music this morning.
Sorry about that. I thought that was... I couldn't tell what that was. It might have been my fat cheek trying to hold the phone up.
That's fine.
Anyway, I cut it off at night now for a couple of reasons. Why it was recommended by T-Mobile on this new phone I got to...
Okay.
Cut it off every night. That's one reason. But the other reason is the last time I got a phone call from somebody that woke me up at like 4 something in the morning. And I just simply made a comment, I wish there was another way to do this or something. He got smart with me.
Oh.
So I hung up the phone. And I said, that'll be the last time you call me back. Wake me up.
Okay.
'Cause I'm cranky when I get woke up.
Okay. Well, and I knew that... I knew that you had that I had never had a problem, getting in touch with you.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, I didn't know why your phone was off. So let me come out Sunday and mm-hmm. see you and sit down and see if there's something that we can do. Okay.
That'll work.
Okay. Enough of that. That's what was said. So. Right quick, we're going to take a commercial break and be back in about 15 seconds. Suppose you were accused of a crime you did not commit. Now, how far would you go to prove you're innocent? Hi, my name's Luther Stidham. Want to help me right the wrong? Just pick up a copy of my book, Falsely Accused, Forever Branded, at your favorite bookstore or on Amazon. Or better yet, make a donation of any amount at mofobooks.com. That's mofobooks.com. Welcome back to the show. I'm Luther Stidham, your host. This is Injustice Radio, hosted by mofobooks.com. That's mofobooks.com. mofobooks.com. If you haven't picked up a copy of my book, Falsely Accused, Forever Branded, you can pick it up at any bookstore around the world. It is available internationally now. It is available at every bookstore around the world, as well as on Amazon. There are several different prices out there. The book suggested retail is $24.95. I think there's somebody out there was trying to sell the thing for $60 somewhere. eBay. I'm not sure. I seen it out there and I thought that blew me away. But it is a good feeling to have the book international now, and we're currently working on a documentary called Pursuit of Innocence. Of course, you're listening now to my radio show. This is normally I do live every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Had some issues with some electronics, got tied up trying to get everything repaired, and now that I have this new podcaster, I think it is, or maybe it's Podomatic. I should know the name of the place I have, but it's on my website. I don't remember what it is, but it's on my website, and you can click it. You can follow me, kind of like you do with Facebook, the link thing. You can follow me, and it will let you know anytime that I upload a new podcast. My podcast will be from the live show, and right now we being me and my personnel are debating whether to roll right into killing the live show and doing podcast but I'm kind of leaning towards not doing that because I like doing the live show. However, it does commit me to a 3 o'clock appointment every Sunday. And now it's Panther season, and Panthers, I love my Panthers. I can't say they're going to come first, but I love my Panthers. Maybe I should do the HD DVR, right? All right, either way, if you would like to sponsor the show, just give me a call, 704-707-4670. That's 704-707-4670. We do take donations to keep the show up and running, especially with my new podcast. That service is no longer free. I've upgraded to a different service where I can actually have a better looking page. I can view stats, etc. And I'm now available on iTunes. And I'm very happy about that. And I'm working on Stitcher Radio next for these podcasts, because I believe one day this stuff is going to blow up really big, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm really hoping for that. So I'm going to do a little do an experiment here. I am going to try some sound effect experiments for you. So if I mess up, my bad. And at the same time, I want to roll into something that happened to me back in 2000. See, I got out of prison in 13. So this would have been the later part of 2013 when I still had the probation officer, Meredith. She said that according to the rules, anytime I have to have a permission slip if I'm going to be in a social environment with other minors, meaning their mom and dad or whoever has custody must sign a permission slip. All right. And as embarrassing as shit as that is, that's the way it is. That's the rules. I have to abide by them. And again, you'll always hear me say, I do believe in them, because there are situations where there are sex predators, child molesters or sexual predators for children or pedophiles, that needs to be an issue. If there's one around your children, one around my child, if I had a little girl, then I would want to know that as well. So I'm not knocking the rule, by no means. And of course I'm going to knock it because I have to do it. But the rules are the rules. So, you know, I abide by them. You know, and one day my time will come and I can clear my name. And speaking of which, my last week's guest almost gave it away. I have a very special surprise for everybody coming up here before long. I may even do a reenactment. But I did something September the 22nd that no one expected. I did it for my own good. I did it for my own peace of mind. And what I'd done was, actually, you know what, I don't want to tell you. I may just go ahead and do a reenactment. And get a couple volunteers in here, do a reenactment on the air. I may do it live. And I'll announce again, it will be a reenactment. However, we will be reading from the official certified statement that I got for something that I did, again, for my own personal peace of mind. And I know that my radio show, my book, and everything here is about to really blow up. So I'm going to be asked about this, and I wanted to have one already ready to go. So you may already know what I'm talking about. If you think hard and long enough, you probably will. I'm sure somebody's going to know if I've ever participated in one of these things. And the answer is now, yes, I have. I tried to get one for two years before I was convicted. Couldn't afford it, and could never get my defense attorney to do it. I couldn't afford it, but come down to it, if they would have allowed me to admit this thing, then I would have come up with the money. However, my challenge to the prosecutor was simply, if I do this, the only thing I asked is you asked the so-called victim's family if they would be willing to do one too. And the reason it got backed out was, for the main reason was, the reply we got back was, the victim's family said, we see no reason why to do it. So you probably can figure that out on your own. Again, I may very well do a reenactment of the results of a particular program that I went through, and read the results actually live on the radio show. Okay, so anyway, back to what I was talking about. In 2013, Meredith You know what? Her name's Meredith McSwain. Just remember that. She had set rules for me, and she was following those rules. And she said, listen, I know that you had a son, 17 years old. I know that your wife's going to give you permission to be around your son, and you're going to give yourself permission to be around your son. So I never had to get a permission slip to be around my son. I knew that. I was told that, but I was given verbal permission. So Meredith McSwain, probation officer Meredith McSwain, then took another position somewhere else. And then I was reassigned to my new probation officer. And it wasn't long before they tried to pull this slick little trick over me. And it didn't work. It didn't work too well because it backfired on them. I took matters into my own hands. And here we go. Let me see if I can get it pulled up here. I'm gonna play it for you.
Mr. Stidham.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mr. Cabrera's probation.
Hey.
Are you still at work?
No, I'm at home right now.
Oh, okay. All right. I just wanted to call you and let you know because I told you I would speak with my supervisor today about this. The way that your post release conditions read, it reads that you cannot associate. Hang on just a minute. Not socialize or communicate with individuals under the age of 18 in work or social activity. The birthday party will be a social activity. Okay?
Okay.
Furthermore, I went back through your file.
Now, this was to bring you up to date here. This was a birthday party for my son. He was having a birthday party. And it was for his 17th birthday. No, 18th birthday. And he was wanting to invite some of his friends over, and they weren't quite 18 yet. And so he was trying to get permission for me to go and figure out how I could go. So that's kind of where we go with that. So I'm going to pick back up.
Uh-huh. You are not even actually supposed to be with your son.
Yeah, I know that.
Because unless it's in writing, I can't find anywhere in there that Meredith gave you permission in writing.
For what?
Okay. To be with your son.
Yeah, no, she never has.
Okay, all right. So, and what you're telling me is the birthday party is going to be on April the 2nd. That's before he turns 18. So the birthday party needs to be after he turns 18.
I'm supposed to be able to be around my son with my wife. As long as my wife's around. Now, she did tell me that, just not by myself.
Okay. Well, there is no documentation of that in your file. And when I was going through the file looking at your post-release conditions as well as your other conditions of probation, there's no documentation of that in here.
Okay, what do we need to do then?
Well, I'm not going to give you written permission, and my supervisor's not going to authorize me to give you written permission.
Well, what about the written permission I already had for the other family members?
Well, that was never staffed with my supervisor, and that was something that Meredith went out and did on her own.
So let me stop it right there and kind of just jump in there. Now, the first probation officer said here, look, you can be around your son because I know you're going to give yourself permission, your wife's going to give you permission, so we don't need a slip. However, on these other ones, family members, you have to get permission slips. So I did exactly what she told me to do. And for, 8 months, that's the way it was. And I was never questioned. There was never any problems until I got this new probation officer. And I don't think it was her problem. I think it was Mitzi Quinn's problem because of some things that I don't remember if I've assumed or I've questioned or what. Well, I haven't assumed. I've questioned. Something has told me that this the supervisor there at Probation Parole in Cabarrus County has gotten some reason to have some type of grudge against me, or maybe not a grudge, maybe, you know, to be against me, to work against me in all forms. And I don't remember what it was that set that off. It was maybe a question that I had asked her without her realizing really where I was going, and she failed. And that would be, I told her something to the effect of, you know, if I were you, I would not allow Meredith Everhart, which Meredith Everhart, if you read my book, is my prosecutor in my case. I would not allow her to influence you to do anything you shouldn't do. She said, well, I don't even know who Meredith Everhart is. I then turned the question around to what I was really wanting to know, and that was about Judge Lewis. And I said, I wouldn't let Judge Lewis influence me either. Now she told on herself, because here's what she done. She turned and looked at me and never spoke a word, and then tried to look away. That told me she had already spoken to Ola Lewis. If I'm not mistaken, that's what it was. So here we go.
And there's no documentation that my supervisor even talked with Meredith about this.
So they're saying that Meredith actually took it upon herself to give me permission. My probation officer took it upon herself to give me permission to be around these children. And now this other probation officer said, well, she didn't do it the right way. And she didn't have the authority to do it.
Because I gave her the permission slips.
Right. I've got the permission slips here in front of me. But my supervisor, it has to be in writing by the supervising officer, and Meredith never put it in writing, and it was never staffed with my supervisor, who was also Meredith's supervisor.
All right. Well, okay, I can understand everything else except my son. I don't understand why you're telling me I can't go around my son.
Because you can't communicate with individuals under the age of 18, and you cannot reside with him.
Wow. So you're telling me I can't see my son again mm-hmm. until he turns 18 years old?
Right. And you should not have been seeing him all of this time.
Okay, Crystal.
Okay, I'm just reading what your conditions are.
Yeah. I'm going to go, okay. I understand that you're doing what you have to do.
Right.
Meredith did tell me I could, so okay. not that I'm going over your head, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and call the probation parole and get them to straighten this out, because Meredith
okay.
told me I could.
Okay. Okay. Well, if you want to come in and sit down and talk with me and my supervisor, we can do that. I was going to offer you that next.
I just want to bring to your attention real quick that all of a sudden she's changing her tune when I decide that I'm going to start threatening about calling North Carolina Department of Public Safety, the Parole Commission, which they don't like, I figured out.
If you want to come in and speak with her about it also.
Yeah, well, I don't see that would benefit me, because she doesn't do anything for me. Mincy Quinn, that's her name?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, she doesn't mm-hmm. do anything
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's where we're at right now.
Okay.
Okay, and I have gone back through your complete file this afternoon before I even called you, and I can't find anything in there. So, okay?
Okay, then.
All right, well, call me back if you have any other questions or anything, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it. At 1 minute, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Another probation officer takes over, and the next minute, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm the one in violation for the last 8 months. And, yeah, that wasn't going to work with me. So I decided to do something very clever. This is what I decided to do. Let me see if I can do this. I decided to do something very underhanded, but it needed to happen. So I therefore wrote a letter, wrote an email, and called North Carolina Department of Public Safety, probation officer, and I put a stop to every bit of it. So the next day, here's what happened.
I don't know
the audio here is a little sucky, because what I did was hit a recording device in my. Actually, I lived in a trailer at the time. Well, bring you up to par here, real quick. When I got out of prison, I was set to go home the day I got out of prison because my son lived there, 17-year-old son. They decided probation, parole, or Mincy Quinn or somebody decided to revoke my home plan. So they left me homeless. And Meredith McSwain at the time said, quote, "I would rather drop you off at a bridge than allow you to go home." And we had to scramble to find up for a place for me to stay. Because here I am fresh out of prison in prison clothes and I have nowhere to go. My wife and my son is at home waiting for me to come home and they would not let me go home. So that's kind of where all of this stemmed up. And in probation parole offices, I was a jerk. I mean, I was a convict. I was a convict, fired up, just fresh out of prison, 4.5 years. You know, mean as I don't know what. Try to be a cop. Try to be a former cop accused of child molestation in prison and see if it doesn't make you mean. See if it doesn't make you learn how to fight real quick. So I'm still in prison mode. I'm still in what you call convict mode. And so they told me that. So I will admit I was not a happy camper. It took two or three more probation officers in that room, and that didn't do nothing but threaten me. And they brought a young buck in there. And I guess he thought he was Billy Badass until I stood up on him. And then he backed up. But that's what I was dealing with. That's what I've been dealing with for this whole time. So I started getting smarter and started using my brain a little bit more than my fist and the angry words that came out of my mouth. So I followed up with probation and parole. And they called. She come out the next day. And this is what was recorded.
I think that I have always been trying to be fair to you.
Yes, I agree.
We have looked back over this, and and we are going to commit you to see Nathan. The way that this is written, it can be interpreted several different ways. Apparently, what Meredith's intentions were that as long as people wrote the notes and she put them in your file, that was fine.
Right.
Mitzi looked at it. Her supervisor looked at it. And this is the conclusion I'm coming up with.
I can't tell you this. My song today blew us out of the water. You know,
right.
You have always been fair to me. Really
right.
Good. You know, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell did I do to deserve
it? And you haven't done anything.
So,
okay. I don't want this to change, and you know, I don't know any other way than to say this. You know, I don't sugarcoat anything, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I want you to think that you know that the reason that we went back and looked at this, we had been looking at it before you contacted parole commission. So that was the reason that I wanted you to come and sit down with us to talk about it before you contacted the parole commission. But, you know, don't think that every time you need that I say you can't do something that you have to contact the parole commission.
All right, I'll end that there. I made my point. I think I have thoroughly made my point. I know eventually that they're going to hear this. So let me say this clearly one more time. My current probation officer would get along. I do what I'm supposed to do, and I don't steer in the wrong path. I know I have to abide by the rules, and I do that. I am a convicted sex offender. I have no choice but to carry that brand with me right now. I am on the path to redemption. I am on the path of an acquittal. I am on the path of proving I done not a damn thing wrong, and you got a bunch of crooked people in Brunswick County, North Carolina, that stripped a perfectly good officer of his badge and put his ass in prison for crimes he did not commit. Hence, this is why I took and wrote the book. I wrote the book for you, the listening audience, and the individuals to help me get this thing ironed out and shed some light on what's going on. So, in the end, somebody might say, well, it looks like it worked out for the better. You would be right. You would be right. Look at me now. I'm getting papers. All right. I got some fun stuff here now. I've downloaded some clips I've got to find out how to get in touch with this guy. It is free. He said he'd give it away for free. But I got to thank him because this stuff is really good. So this is not my work. This is a work that belongs to a guy by the name of Jeff something. I don't remember all what it is, but I will give him credit later on in the show when maybe in another show where I'll play it again. I might just keep it and play it more often. But I want you to hear this. This is pretty good. This one's called Shutterbug.
This is an outrageous lie. This is an outrageous lie.
I can't help to think about Brunswick County here.
This is an outrageous lie. This is an outrageous lie. This is an outrageous lie. This is an outrageous lie.
That's on the authority of a well-known.
This is an outrageous lie. This is an outrageous lie. This is an outrageous lie.
That's on the authority of a well-known.
Also, want to bring up real quick, turn this music down a little bit. Now, before the end of the month, I'm hoping to do a segment on domestic violence. And my special agent, 00CD, is going to be the first guest. She has experienced some domestic violence in the past, and she wants to talk about it. And she wants to also remain anonymous, and I'm perfectly fine with that. And I will do a live show on that, I promise you. And you will be able to call in. The call-in number is 704-707-4670. And we can discuss this. And I'm trying to make arrangements for another author to be on board with this. It'll be a call-in. So I'll work that out. And when I get a date nailed down, I'll let you know. This next one here, I like it pretty good too. It's got to do with kind of like the government too as well. Same artist. I think it's titled "That's a Lie." Nope, it's titled. You know what? The first one was titled "That's a Lie." This one's titled "Shutterbug."
All of the tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive.
Weapons of mass destruction. I do not have sexual relations with them.
My background. The radio and the TV show and lie.
We're winning. You have a government lie.
On the high with stars and stripes, they really try.
Just leading the public and the cop.
These allegations are false.
I feel better.
False.
Nicotine is not addictive.
You know, if you've been listening to my radio show, the past previous podcasts, etc., or read my book, I think you're probably laughing right now of how much these two clips really sound a lot like my case. This next one.
This is an outrageous lie.
This next one is it's called Triumph. It really has nothing to do with my radio show or anything else, but I like it. It's really good.
1974 is the year that they are now planning for sex on the streets in every major city from coast to coast. On the streets, sex on the streets, sex on the streets, sex on the streets, sex on the street in every major city.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, be right back, and then we're going to wind the show down.
Suppose you were accused of a crime you did not commit. Now, how far would you go to prove you're innocent? Hi, my name's Luther Stidham. Want to help me right the wrong? Just pick up a copy of my book, Falsely Accused Forever Branded, at your favorite bookstore or on Amazon. Or better yet, make a donation of any amount at mofobooks.com. That's mofobooks.com.
Thank you for giving me an hour of your time. I'm Luther Stidham. I'm your host. This is Injustice Radio. If you have not picked up a copy of my book, remember to do so. Falsely Accused, Forever Branded. You can walk in any bookstore around the world and pick up my book. If they don't have it on the shelf, tell them to put it on the shelf, or they can order it for you. You can also go to Amazon.com, type in Falsely Accused, Forever Branded, and it will show you all the different available outlets to get it from. Or you can simply send me an email. InjusticeRadio@gmail.com. That's InjusticeRadio@gmail.com. Make a donation of any amount, and I will send you a book myself. Drop it in the mailbox, the whole nine yards, including wrapping it up in plastic. This has been another episode of Injustice Radio. Next week, I'm not sure who I've got confirmed to come on yet, but as always, I hope that it'll be a good show for you. And again, by the end of the month, I'm hoping to be able to get a guest speaker on here. My, can't really say an employee, because I don't pay her, but she does volunteer her time. She's done an enormous amount of research for me. I mean, it is incredible how much research she has done on her own. And she approached me with it. And fan, maybe. She's definitely a very, very nice woman, and again has done a lot for me as far as research goes into Judge Ola Lewis in my case, so I want to thank her for that. So thank you, and I hope to eventually work her into being a regular guest speaker on the show, and we're going to call her Special Agent 00CD. That's Special Agent 00CD, and I'll let her explain to you why we call her OCD. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week.
You've just listened.
listening to another insane episode of Injustice Radio, sponsored by MofoBooks.com. I am your host, Lucas Diddle. Don't forget to join us next week. And remember, America, this is your show.